Brethren, this is no great news to any of us here today. We are living in one of the most serious and dangerous periods in the history of mankind. With all the unrest between the nations in the Middle East and the violence that has taken place in America today, all the shootings and killings that is happening in our neighborhood tell us without any doubt that we are living in the end time. And I really get depressed just turning on the news anymore. People are being shot while they sit on the porch just talking, and somebody decide they want to ride by and shoot five or six times at people sitting on the porch. If it's a group of people at some gathering and picnics and so forth, and just ride by and say, well, I believe I'll just shoot up some people today. That's Satan's mentality. This is the world that we live in. And while Jesus Christ was here on earth, he proved without any doubt that he was the greatest teacher that ever taught. He taught many, hundreds of people. Many of his messages that he taught was related to the kingdom of God. And he taught a lot in parables. For today, we want to notice a message that is related to the kingdom of God, but the message pictures two different groups of people that cannot be identified until the very end. They all look the same. They all was going in the same direction. And they were all Christians. In this parable that was taught by Christ, You will be able to see the same pattern, the same lifestyle, the same life preparation that exists in our surroundings today. This parable could be so easily applied to a group that we must make sure that we are not and will not become a part of. There are four main principles listed in the scriptures that God requires us to live by. The first one is God requires us to live in expectation with vigilance and constant watchfulness. That is one. To live in expectation and vigilance and constant watchfulness. Now, there's a reason for that, and we'll see as we go into the scriptures. Number two, requirement. God requires faithfulness to duty and wisdom in dealing with our fellow man. Faithfulness to duty and wisdom dealing with our fellow man. Number three, God requires preparedness through spiritual development, working on our relationship with him and increasing the growth of the Holy Spirit within us. God requires preparedness through spiritual development, working on our relationship with him and increasing the growth of the Holy Spirit within us. Requirement number four. God requires us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we find that statement in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And it reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." And the amen is Christ. Amen is the Christ. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ certainly means our faithfulness. For today's sermon, we want to go through a parable that most of you have read many times. And probably you have heard in the past some sermons on this parable. But we hope that you will be able to see into the depth of this parable and the lessons and warnings that are given that we should take heed to. Now, the sermon title is simple to remember. Sermon title, Are You Prepared? Are you prepared? In this parable, you will be able to see two different groups of people that were part of the Christian society in Jesus' time and a part of our Christian society today. So we will begin, and I'll just ask you to put a little piece of paper or something in your Bible, because we're going to be coming back and forth to this one chapter that we're going to draw from to explain this parable. And where we'll be turning to begin with, was going to be Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to start and read through verse 1 through verse 13. And as I said, just put something in, because we're going to leave that chapter and go to other books in the scriptures, and we're going to come back and forth as we explain this parable that we will be reading about. So we will begin in Matthew chapter 25, beginning and reading in verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them was wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps." Verse 5, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.'" Verse 7, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" Verse 9, "But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" Verse 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." Verse 11, "And all the other virgins," or afterward, you know, all the virgin came also saying, "Lord, open to us." Now, these are the virgins that went to buy the oil, and they came back. In verse 12, "But he answered and said, 'Surely I say to you, I do not know you.'" Verse 13 says, "Therefore, watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So that verse within itself should open our eyes. Now, this parable of the 10 virgins, and I want you to remember this as we go through the sermon. The parable of these 10 virgin pictures the church. This is the church, the 10 virgins, waiting for the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, to return. But because of the unexpected long delay, he finds half of these virgins prepared, or unprepared, I should say, when he arrives. So when the bridegroom came, he found half of the virgins unprepared. So this parable of the 10 virgins shows a situation and a pattern that exists in our society today. It existed in the society of Jesus' days as well. So in those days in Palestine, a wedding was a great occasion. The whole village turned out to accompany the couple in their new home. And they went by the longest possible road. And rather, you know, after the wedding, they all just they took a long trip around to the house. And there was a reason for this. In order to receive glad wishes from others that come by. So the custom was, when a couple married, they did not go away on a honeymoon, but stayed at home for a week and kept an open house. And they were treated as, and even addressed as prince and princesses. It was the happiest time of their life. And so it was. This is the way it was with the parable that Jesus is speaking of. But what are the messages, the lessons that Christ wants us to learn from this parable? Now let's go back, return to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. The 10 virgins mentioned here in verse 1 represents those who are called into the church. The bridegroom represents Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 2, five of these virgins were wise and five were foolish. What we want to notice here is there's two different groups of people here. And we're going to see the difference between the two. The wise virgins are intelligent. They focused on the future. They understood that they must be prepared to meet the bridegroom. Remember again, these are two different groups of people. They both are traveling together. They both had lamps. They both had oil. They all were on their way to meet the bridegroom. But five of them were foolish, and the word foolish, translated from the Greek word moros, M-O-R-O-S, from which derives the English word moron. Moron in the English, according to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, the word means a person regarded as stupid. I didn't say this. This is what the English translation says. I just read it to you. Verse 3, the foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. Now, the lamp represents the witness of the gospel in the midst of our dark world. Second Peter. Let's leave Matthew 25 now and go to Second Peter, chapter 1. Read verses 19 through 21. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day draws and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So our lamps, brethren, represents the Word of God. And this Word, as we saw in verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 1, is not of any private interpretation, but is given through and by the Holy Spirit. Our responsibility as true Christians and disciples is to keep our lamps burning. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Begin reading in verse 35. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Verse 36. And you yourself be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Notice what Christ said and what really what he called John the Baptist. John chapter 5. And these verses in different parts of the scripture here, this shows how important it is that our lamps are burning. John chapter 5, verse 35. This is what Christ said about John the Baptist. He was the burning and shining lamp. And you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So what Christ is saying was that John was a good example. John was a lamp, a shining light to the Jews. But the Jews rejected. The Jews rejected John's teaching about Christ. Now let's return back to Matthew chapter 25. We will notice verse 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 3 and 4. So remember, they all had lamps, but the foolish did not carry any extra oil with them. In the scripture, oil is symbolic to God's Holy Spirit. Oil is symbolic to God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the very nature, presence, and expression of God's power actively working within his servants. Holy place there in Matthew 25. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So this is an identification here of God's people, those that are called into the church, those that are keeping God's commands, those that are obedient, they are led by the Spirit of God. Again, remember, as we continue, at one time these five foolish virgins possessed God's Holy Spirit. They had oil. What happened? The five wise had oil. These five virgins, when they started out on the trip to meet the bridegroom, they had oil as well. But he didn't carry any extra. And the sad part is, they failed to replenish their vessels. They were not concerned. This is the foolish. They were not concerned about their future. These lamps have only a small reservoir. And since the marriage procession was to take place at night, those oil reservoirs had to be replenished often. So the wise virgins came prepared by bringing extra oil. And this shows a state of readiness. The foolish were not concerned about their spiritual state of being, and there is a reason why. We will see in just a few minutes. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 5. The bridegroom was delayed. You see, brethren, we don't know. We don't know when Christ will return. But notice what Christ said. Just go back a page in your Bible. It's Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In verse 36, this is what Christ says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And let's notice verse 44. It says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So the important message is here, we don't have the time to play around with our spiritual development. This is a serious time in our life. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 6 and 7. We will also cover verse 8, 6, 7, and 8. In verse 6, we find a cry that went out at midnight to announce the coming of the bridegroom, Christ. And it was time to go out to meet him. All that heard the cry was not ready. They all arose and trimmed their lamps. A lamp is trimmed when the wick is turned either up or down to regulate the amount of flame inside. And verse 7 said, all of those virgins trim their lamps. But if a lamp is empty of oil, brethren, it does not matter how much you move the wick up and down. It's not going to help. See, I've seen this. I know about this. I was raised with this. Because we were not blessed with a lot of financial things in my life. I was raised up on a farm. So we didn't have money all the time. But when my mom decided to trim the lamps and there was enough oil in the lamp, I saw her do this many times. And we know that water and oil will mix. But what she did, she put the water in the lamp so the oil came to the top. So she was able to use the, you know, for a few more hours. So this is what it's saying here, brethren. Without God's Holy Spirit, we would wander around in a world of darkness without any spiritual understanding. The cry went out at midnight, and the plea was made to the wise in verse 8, from the foolish, saying, their lamps are going out. Please give us some of your oil. But in verse 9, the answer came very quickly, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. So what is the lesson, brethren? Christ is showing us here in these scriptures. Christ is giving us two important warnings. Number one, we must stay prepared. There are certain things which cannot be obtained at the last minute. And we have heard people say all of our life, deathbed repentance. Doesn't work. We live all of our life and we do the things we want to do, but at the last moment, we want to repent. God likes repentance. God accepts repentance. But what have you done for God? Sounds like this foolish virgin is knocking at the door. Said, I don't know you. I never knew you. That doesn't mean that those people, and I don't have time to go into the answer to this. But God, Jesus Christ, wants everyone to be saved. And there is a time. But to enter into the kingdom of God, we have to be prepared. Now, what about those people that's not prepared? Well, like I said, I don't have the time to go into it, but in the book of Revelation, you will find that in our Holy Day booklet, if you read that as well, you know, there's a group of people that will come up in the resurrection and be taught. And this is where you are responsible, brethren. You're going to have to teach those people that come up in the resurrection about their slackness in keeping God's way. This is our job. This is our duty. I hope we understand that. It's important. The student that sat in class all during the year, he played around and didn't study. He didn't do his homework. And finally the day came for the year-end examination. He failed because he was not prepared. It was too late to acquire the knowledge and skill to pass the test. To be late is always tragedy. And this is what I said just a few moments ago. Christ is not saying that all is lost. But how can he take a group of people and place them in the kingdom of God to teach the thousands and thousands and billions of people that's coming up in the resurrection We don't, if we didn't live God's way, we don't have the knowledge to teach anybody, do we? We got to acquire the knowledge while we're here. This is our responsibility. So it's dangerous to play around and not increase our spiritual life. So it warns us here that we should be prepared. The cry that went out at midnight leaves the virgins no time for preparation. It announces the bridegroom's coming and commands them to meet him. So this brings us to our second warning given by Christ as we deepen our understanding of verse 8 and 9. It warns us that there are certain things that cannot be borrowed. Brethren, we cannot borrow character. We cannot create or develop a lasting relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. At just a moment's notice. We cannot develop spiritual knowledge overnight. This is what I just finished saying. It takes a lifetime to develop and work on these things. Notice what Christ himself said. John chapter 9. Holy place, we'll come back. John chapter 9. Verse 4 and 5 of John chapter 9, verse 4. Christ said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So this is what I was just finished saying a few minutes ago, brethren. We are lights to the world. Examples. The five foolish virgins was not prepared to meet the bridegroom. They did not have the supply of oil, the Holy Spirit, that was needed to keep their lamps burning in time of need. So with their lamps put out, they wandered around in the dark. Finally stumbled up to where the wedding was going on and knocked on the door. But the master said, you know, I don't know you. Ecclesiastes, another warning here, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse 10. So whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So what it's saying to us now, brethren, this is our chance now. Christ said he was going to do the works that the Father had sent him to do while he was in the world. And, you know, God is expecting the same thing from us. He's called us. He's placed us in his church. He's expecting us to do the work. To let our light shine. Christ said he was going to do the works that the Father sent him to do while he was here on earth. Because he is the light of the world. We have been called to do a work and to let our light shine as well. Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. We will read verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Christ said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives lights to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Light is important. I can't tell you how much light is important. I can tell you because I was in the dark a lot trying to do my homework for school. We didn't have lamps. We didn't have any electricity. So we had 3 lamps. 1 lantern, my dad took to the barn to feed the animals and milk the cow. The other light, Mom kept in the kitchen preparing the food. The other lamp that we had was the fireplace. Light from the burning fireplace. I sat many nights in front of the fireplace doing my homework for school. Light is important. So Christ is saying, let our light, let all the knowledge you have been taught, let that shine to others out there in darkness. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So it shows that, you know, at one point we didn't have God's Holy Spirit. We stumbled around and did all kinds of things that was not pleasing to God. But now we understand that we should do the works of God. What are the works? The works are simply the results of our overcoming. Jesus' message to the 7 churches in Revelation, at the end of each message, and you can read this, he left them with a promise to him who overcomes. The message to us all that are listening here today is to overcome. And we should strive with all of our being to overcome no matter what the situation may be. Now let's just notice this. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's a beautiful promise. A beautiful promise. So this parable of the 10 virgins demonstrates the importance of overcoming. Now let's return back to Matthew chapter 25. As we said before, the wise virgin did not have enough oil for the foolish virgins to borrow. So while they went to buy some oil, in verse 10, the bridegroom came. Once again, we must be reminded of this parable picturing the end time, the period that we are living in now. This parable picture the 10 virgins as the church, as we said before. The oil is the symbolic of God's Holy Spirit, which we cannot borrow. We can't borrow God's Holy Spirit. It pitches character, which we cannot develop overnight. It pitches relationship with we must have. It pitches the marriage of Christ to the church when he returns. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. We are the wife, brethren. We are the wife. Verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. So when Christ returns, he will marry his church. Verse 9, then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Now let's continue by returning to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 10. Verse 10 says, While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with the bridegroom, and the door was shut. Now, this is the second time that we can read in Scriptures where God shut the door. God shut the door in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16 during the time of Noah and the flood. On the ark, God shut the door. It was finality. It was not that to be opened. God placed the seal on the door. So what made these virgins ready? Those that were ready had a righteous character. They read and studied the Word of God. They had a close relationship with God. They followed His commandments. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The wise had been in contact with the dispenser of oil, the Holy Spirit, through prayer, Bible study, staying focused and making themselves ready for the return of the bridegroom. Preparedness cannot be transferred. Brethren, no one can deliver his brother. Each person determines his own destiny. No matter how close we are to one another, even if we are one in the flesh, in marriage, a husband cannot deliver his wife. And the wife cannot deliver the husband. We cannot deliver our children. Everyone must stand on his own in relationship with God. God makes this very clear in Scriptures. God shows the state of righteousness. Even Noah, Daniel, and Job were men declared by God as being righteous, but they cannot deliver no one but themselves. It's God who delivers. Let's notice this in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14. Ezekiel Ezekiel chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 13. Ezekiel 14, verse 13. The Son of Man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, this is what God is saying, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supplies of bread and send famine on it and cut off man and beast from it. Verse 14, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. If I cause a wild beast to pass through the land, and they empty it and make it so desolate that no man may pass through it because of the beast, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 14, let's notice verse 6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent. Turn away from your idols and turn your face away from all your abominations. Now, what was going on here at the time, Israel continues to tell God that they were going to follow his commandments. But they did for a small period of time, and then, you know, they were back doing the same thing again. So God is saying, you know, I'm going to take you or cause you to enter captivity. Now, you can't ride the coattails, I'll put it in this phrase, just because Noah, Daniel, and Job existed in these lands because of their goodness, you can't continue to stay here in sin and think that I'm going to deliver you. It won't happen. So he's saying that we all have to stand on the righteousness produced in our bodies, not someone else. We conclude then by returning to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 11 and 12. The wise went into the wedding. The door was shut. Then came the foolish knocking on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But Christ said, as we read before, I do not know you. Hold your place. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And we see why. We will see why the bridegroom said this. The bridegroom being Christ. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Christ said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The will. Many will say, verse 22, to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Verse 23, then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, brethren, there is no back door to enter God's kingdom. There never was and never will be. Because Christ said so. Matthew chapter 7. Let's notice. Matthew chapter 7. Let's notice verse 13, 14. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find it. To do the will of the Father is to live by the Word of God. God the Father has the authority, and Jesus Christ has paid the price to enable us to have, to keep oil in our lamps. It's up to us. It's up to us to keep the oil in our lamps. You see, I mean, that was proven by the wise virgins. All these virgins, again, they started out. They were all going the same way. But they let their oil run out. Everyone called by God, you and I must pay the price. And that price we must pay is obedience to God. That obedience supplies us with God's Holy Spirit, the oil. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Verse 32. And we are, verse 32, and we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. You see, if we don't obey God, he's not going to leave the Holy Spirit with us. I can prove that. I know that's to be a fact. Some of the people that used to attend services with me years ago, they don't know anything about the holy days anymore. The Spirit has left them because there was no obedience. So God's Holy Spirit just left them. God's not going to leave that with somebody that's not going to obey his way of life. If we are to become the first fruits in God's kingdom, we must be obedient with God's will. We don't want to live a lifestyle of just getting by, doing just enough to make ourselves look good. That is what the foolish virgins did, as well as the church in Laodicea. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Sometimes it's easy just to do enough to make ourselves look good in the eyes of others. But are we building character? Are we growing in grace and knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things says the Amen, says Christ. He's the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So the fault of the church from Christ was they were neither cold nor hot. In other words, they had no real zeal or deep interest in the Word of God. This was also the attitude of the foolish version. So, in conclusion, we have seen from the parable that all virgins had the same belief. When they all started out, they had oil, they all had the same belief, represented by the lamps they carried with them. The lamp represent the word, laws, and statutes of God. Five of these virgins are foolish and five are wise, showing the end time church is composed of two types of members. Sad to say, but if you remember, Mr. Armstrong said many, many years ago, 50% of you people are converted. He said that from the pulpit. I'm not saying I hope everybody here is converted. I mean, I hope that. I'm not singling nobody out. I'm just saying you showing you the state of life that we're living in now. We need to get together, brethren, together as a church, grow in grace and understanding and knowledge and spiritual life and live, and get ourselves prepared. Be in the group of the wise. So, I'll just leave you with this question, because I don't know the answer, but you do. How much oil do you have in your lamp? I'll let you answer that. I don't know. Jesus gave ample warnings in his teaching concerning the last days we are living in and the need for spiritual preparation. Jesus makes the purpose of this parable very clear in the last verse of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. Christ said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming."